Yes, it's My Car Guru for a Monday morning, kicking off another work week here, and we're joined by the new grandpa, Lenny Lawson.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm feeling very fortunate this morning. I don't like to say blessed, and I don't like to say lucky, but I'm feeling a little bit of all of them, because on Friday, my youngest daughter had another little boy, and his name is Leo Pierce Nelson, and he's named kind of after me a little bit, since my name is Leonard, and Audra just couldn't stomach naming a little baby looking in the cradle and saying, or looking in the crib and saying, "Hi, Leonard," you know. So it just, I think that's why my mom called me Lenny. She couldn't do it either.
I don't see anything wrong with Leonard myself, but.
Well,
to each his own.
You're just really good for my ego, I guess.
But
it was exciting. Yeah. It was an exciting weekend. We had interesting weekend in other ways. At the dealership, we had a really big sale weekend. You know, it's just so weird to see all this stuff going on. Riots in the Capitol, COVID blossoming like it is right now. That's a bad choice of words. I've been blossoming myself a little bit. I'll talk about that here in a second. But anyway, and then for cars to be selling like they are, it is quite a phenomenon.
Uh-huh.
And we'll go over some of those numbers. Now, I was talking about, you know, that it's time to get on the treadmill or something when you put on your pants that you wore a couple years ago. And I could sit down in them, Tim. My daughter's talked me into doing this plain front thing. I used to wear pleated pants all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, got a lot of room with pleated pants. But they said, "Dad, pleated pants aren't cool anymore." So I said, "Okay, what's cool?" And they said, "Well, plain front." I said, "Okay, I'll try some plain front." Well, when I tried them on back 2 years ago, apparently they fit. Today, when I put my cell phone in one pocket and my wallet in the other, I couldn't sit down.
Hmm.
So it's probably time to start exercising a little bit. That's hard, though, isn't it, Tim? Have you ever tried a new exercise program, especially at a fairly advanced age?
Oh, yeah. It's brutal to try to do that. But now you ride bicycles a lot, though, don't you?
I do, but you can't when it's this cold.
Well, that's true, I guess, yeah.
I mean, you can indoors, but anything stationary bores me to tears.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Maybe that's why my brother bought one of those Nautilus bicycles. I think it's Nautilus.
Peloton?
It's kind of like a Peloton,
okay.
Except not as expensive.
Okay.
And you have this big screen in front of you, and you get to ride through the mountains and stuff like that. And, you know, you get that feeling
mm-hmm.
that you're actually covering some terrain.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had it with buying exercise equipment that becomes something that all you do is dust it. So I might just have to wait for good weather. I don't know. We'll see. Well, 2020, I didn't get to wrap up 2020 last week. We ran out of time. But 2020 was an interesting year in the car business, obviously. Looking at the numbers, Ford was number one in sales at 1.9 million. That was off 16%. Toyota was number two brand in the United States, 1.8 million. They were off 12%. Then Chevrolet, Honda, Nissan, Jeep, Ram, Hyundai, Subaru, and Kia. So to give you an idea, the last one on that list, Kia sold 586,000 vehicles versus Ford's almost 2 million. So those are the top 10. Ford Ranger is doing a lot better. Ford Ranger came out and actually beat Colorado last year. Ford Ranger sold 101,000 Rangers. That was up 13%. Over the previous year, 2019 was the first year that vehicle came out. Chevrolet Colorado sold 96,000, and then the Jeep Gladiator was at 77,542. Of course, the Tacoma is the big winner there. Tacoma, 238,000 Tacomas were sold. So they all have a lot of catching up to do before that. Can you hear my dogs barking?
Just a little bit. I wondered what that was.
Yeah, my next Tara's good friend just showed up at the house, and the dogs are good alarms. I hope they do that in the middle of the night if somebody ever decides to come in. I'm afraid they would just be too sacked out and wouldn't do anything. Who knows? Camaro seems to be fading. The Ford Mustang continued to lead the pony car segment, more than doubling the sales of the Camaro. Ford Mustang sold 61,000. That was still off 16% from the previous year. Dodge Challenger, 52,955, and then the Camaro at 29,000. You know, you hear see all these negative numbers, but the car manufacturers were making really good money because they weren't having to incentivize cars as much to sell them, and their efficiency ratings went way just out the roof as far as the production, and they were able to squeeze more profit by cutting expenses and shrinking to some degree. Ford F-Series was the winner again. Sales were off 12% for the Ford F-Series. You may have seen in the news that General Motors sold more trucks than Ford, and that's true if you combine Chevrolet and GMC. But Ford sold 787,000 F-Series trucks. That was down 12%. Chevrolet Silverado sold 586,000. That was up 2.8%. And then Ram went down 11% to 563. So there's a lot more news here to go into and talk about, and we'll get to that right after the break.
And back here on My Car Guru for this Monday morning, I think a few weeks back, Lenny, we were talking about logos when it came to car manufacturers.
Yeah.
And I heard a report this morning, I believe GM is changing their logo, at least one of them that I know of, to instead of the uppercase GM, they're going with the lowercase GM and some kind of line pattern to make it accent their electric vehicles.
Yeah, I saw that logo, and I don't get it.
Yeah.
I can see updating a logo. Kia is doing the same thing. They're updating their logo. It says, now it looks like KN. I don't know if you've seen the logo, but to me it's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a K, the letter K and the letter N.
Yeah.
They've kind of combined the I and the V, or the A, I and the A.
Yeah.
And it just, and the A doesn't have a little, you know, thing in the middle, like an A. It looks like an upside-down V. So anyway, they're smarter than us, though, Tim.
Well, they're supposed to be, I guess. They're all huddled in a room coming up with ideas, and they decided, somebody decided, hey, let's change the GM logo.
Yeah. So. Well, looking at some of the other vehicles out there, or categories, as far as SUVs, the Toyota RAV4 was number one at 430,000. That was still off 4%. Honda CR-V was second. Chevy Equinox was third. Nissan Rogue was fourth. And the Ford Explorer was fifth. Now, the Ford Explorer had kind of a rough start. Then they had some recalls just right out of the gate. And that kind of stunted their plan a little bit. And so, but they're really catching on. That's a really nice vehicle. Of course, the Explorer is quite a bit larger than any of these other vehicles in that class. But, you know, they kind of lump them all together when they're looking at the overall numbers. But Ford Explorer sales were up 21% last year. So it's really coming on strong. There were five segments, vehicle segments, that managed an increase, including two categories of electric vehicles. Battery electric crossovers, which is like the Model Y, like the new Ford Mustang Mach-E. Of course, it really hadn't started selling yet. Well, I mean, there's some of them out there. But we sold one the other day, but it hasn't arrived yet. We just took a deposit. But battery electric crossovers were up 148%. Now, still, in 2020, that was only 77,000 vehicles. Large premium crossovers were up about 8%, 129,000. The big segment is subcompact crossovers, 892,000. That's more subcompact crossovers than Ford sold F-Series trucks.
Hmm.
I mean, and I can see it. I mean, just yesterday I was sitting in a red light in a car, or in my F-150, and in front of me were three different make crossovers. And, I mean, that is just for SUVs. I'm going to stop calling them crossovers eventually.
Mm-hmm.
The crossover sounds like a bad thing, but SUV sounds cool. So, anyway, small SUVs. You know, they're just so practical, and every manufacturer has shifted to them. Of course, Ford has eliminated all of their cars, so you won't see many cars on this list. Large premium sporty cars, however, are up 4.5% in 2020, and battery electric vehicles were up 1.9%. Most of those were Teslas, 226,000 battery electric vehicles. That's a number that's going to change a lot. in the coming years. Mm-hmm. The industry thinks that electric vehicles are our future, and they're probably right. I'm really concerned about what the incoming administration is going to do to gas prices, oil prices. Right now, we are the number one exporter of oil in the world, and that's because of fracking, primarily. Mm-hmm. And so fracking goes away, that status changes. That can have an impact on the cost of fuel. And, you know, low fuel prices, politicians see low fuel prices as an opportunity for a gas tax. And I mentioned that last year. What, do you think that'll happen, Timmy?
Yeah, probably will. I imagine it will.
Well, you know, that low-hanging fruit, it is something that is available, and, you know, we'll just have to see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
The Consumer Electronics Show normally happens around this time of year. Of course, it's not happening this year because of COVID concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still some pretty interesting things going to be coming out in terms of technology. Your dashboard is definitely going to change. It is changing now. All of the screens are getting bigger. You know, the center screen and the on the dashboard is getting much bigger in the new F-150. It's over 12 inches tall and looks really good. I've played with it a little bit on the new F-150. It's just takes some getting used to. On the new F-150 on the higher trim levels, the instrumentation in front of the driver is just a screen. It's the first time that we have eliminated needles and gauges like that, you know, that actually had an arm that was moved around. Now it's totally digital.
Yeah.
And that, now you can create any kind of dash that you want, you know, depending on what you want to see. You can't watch a movie on it, but you can do pretty much anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Some other things that we're going to start seeing this year is going to be materials, cars, things that cars are made out of. Are rapidly changing. Now, some of the steel makers have come up with some new lightweight, different types of steel that, you know, you may see aluminum kind of going by the wayside to a certain degree because of the these new steels that are getting ready to come out. Carbon fiber, they still haven't figured out a way to make it cheaply enough to be something that you see on inexpensive cars, but you're going to see more and more carbon fiber material. You know, the advantage of carbon fiber is that it is stronger than steel and safer, therefore, and it's also extremely lightweight. It's lighter than steel or aluminum.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they just haven't figured out a way to make it in large quantities affordably. So we're still a ways away on that. But they are doing a lot of interesting things with plastics. And a German company called Covestro, has developed materials for that were going to be a lot more cheaply made, and also because, Tim, you know, you've got to figure out a way to drive down the cost of some of the cars that we're selling. I had an F-450 the other day that came in. The window sticker on that thing was $92,000 for a pickup truck.
Mm.
We had a BMW in the shop the other day that I think I mentioned that on a radio show. The headlights were messed up, and we were going to replace the headlights. Each side was $3,600 to replace the headlights.
Hmm.
You know, and you've got insurance costs that are high because of those kind of things. I mean, if you have just a minor front-end collision that used to require, you know, a little bit of trim and maybe a new headlight bulb or something like that, now you're talking a front-end collision bump could total a car. Because of all the expense involved in replacing those components. Of course, electrification, more and more different software improvements. I sold a Ford Ranger the other day to a good friend of mine, and he had three different ways that he could open his doors. He could use his key fob, he could use his phone app, or he could use the keypad that's actually on the B-pillar of that particular car. So, you know, some of this stuff is overkill. I did drive a lower priced, a new 21 F-150 this weekend just to see you know, I'm trying to get used to it, make sure I understand it so that I can help people make good decisions buying these things. And I actually had to use a key. And I haven't used a key for a car in probably 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it was so awkward, mm-hmm. you know, to actually have to pull something out of my pocket and stick it in the ignition and turn it.
Yeah.
It was exhausting. You know, I shouldn't have to work out that hard to start. I'm so used to walking up to the car, resting my hand on the door handle, it automatically unlocks, opening the door, putting my foot on the brake, and pushing a button. I've gotten spoiled, I guess. But, yeah, having to use a key, and the keys are going to be going away pretty soon, too. So a lot of changes coming our way. They're going to happen regardless of whether we like them or not. But, you know, and it's not all bad, I don't think. We need to find something else to complain about, right, Tim?
I guess we're all, seems like, especially we get older, we don't like the change that much. But, you know, we've got to accept it, I suppose.
That's right. But we'll take our last break and be back in just a minute.
And we're back here on My Car Guru for this Monday morning with the man expending excessive amounts of energy just fishing for keys in his pocket, Lenny Lawson.
Yeah. You know, 63 years ago, a vehicle came out that was, let's say it was somewhat crude. It was very similar to a Jeep. It was for off-road use. It wasn't a Land Rover, and it wasn't a Jeep, but it was very much like those two, but it was made in Japan. Ben, what was that vehicle called?
A vehicle like a Jeep coming out of
like
Japan.
Like a Jeep.
Okay.
Like a Land Rover.
Mm-hmm.
Came out of Japan. You would see them on safaris. You would see them, matter of fact, in more recent times, the last 15 years, I've restored a number of them and really enjoyed this particular vehicle. It's been one of my favorites over the years, even though it's a brand that I don't sell. Have you thought of what it is yet?
Well,
it's a very rough, rugged four-wheel drive vehicle.
Well, I was trying to think of Suzuki or one of those types of vehicles.
Toyota makes it.
Toyota, geez. I'm trying to think of what it is. I can't think
Land
of
Cru-
I was trying to think something cruiser, Land Cruiser, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's been a global icon for many, many years. It will end its 63-year run in the United States after the current model year. It's been built a lot longer than that, but it's been in the United States for 63 years.
See, what one thing that threw me off is I didn't know it had been around that long. I didn't think it had been around for 63 years.
Yeah, it's just it's been around 1 year less than I've been around.
Hmm.
But that doesn't mean that that Toyota is completely getting rid of the luxury SUV space. Of course, you know, back when that first came out, it was kind of like the Chevy Blazer or the Ford Bronco. They were pretty basic, pretty crude. I mean, just think about it. From 66 until, like, 1973, the Ford Bronco did not come with an automatic transmission. It was only available with three on the tree,
mm-hmm.
with a manual transmission on the column,
mm-hmm.
as most people. We call it three on the tree, right?
Right.
But Toyota came out with the Land Cruiser, and it went through many generations. Now, the older ones are still bringing big money, but not like they were 10 years ago. 10 years ago, a really, really well-restored Toyota Land Cruiser was bringing in excess of $100,000. Now, you know, this is a vehicle that sold new for about $1,500, okay? It got up to you know, in that old body style. I think the last year was 1982, I believe, was the last year of the Land Cruiser. But they probably sold in the $7,000-$8,000 range. The modern version of the Land Cruiser retails for a little over $80,000, and so they've kind of gotten pricey. And Toyota has decided to stop selling them in the United States for the 2020 or after the 2021 model year. So if you're interested in getting one of the modern Land Cruisers, it's very sophisticated, and base price is $86,880. But it'll be the last body-on-frame SUV that's probably sold by Toyota. Over the past 15 years, U.S. dealers have sold an average of 3,000 Land Cruisers per year, so not many of them being built. So it's probably time for it to go away and come up with something a little bit more modern, probably with a an electric powertrain. That would be the eco-friendly thing to do, I guess. But anyway, I hate to say goodbye to the Land Cruiser, but that's exactly what's happening. On the used car market, the things seem to hold their value extremely well. I see the older Land Cruisers selling on Bring a Trailer. These are vehicles from the late 80s and 90s. They're bringing anywhere from $40,000 to $50,000 right now. So definitely a collector's item. If you got one, you might want to think about keeping it, Tim.
Here, I thought the Land Rover is what they used on safaris a lot, but
It was. Okay. The Land Cruisers have been probably the more reliable of the two, but you do see a lot of Land Rovers, definitely in Africa and different places where they go on safaris. So I'd like to have a Land Rover, too. If anybody knows where one is, I'd love to buy one, an older one. Okay. You know, something 30 or 40 years old. That's what turns me on.
All right, that'll do it for the show today, and who knows, we might see you in person tomorrow, might we?
That's right. I'll be up there.
All right. We'll talk to you then for another edition of My Car Guru.